It is always a blessing and a joy to share the Word of God with you. The Word of God says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And that's a rather powerful statement for us, for me, for you. Because God has given us much. I am convinced after 4 decades of ministry that our greatest challenge is not knowledge. Our greatest challenge is obedience, the doing of what we know. That's what limits people. If you were to ask the average man or woman what it will take to have a good, healthy marital relationship, they will spill it all out to you. They will tell you all the things that you need to do. Actually, people that are not married are experts at what marriage should look like. So what happened when they got married? Lack of doing of what they know to be true. Because everybody's fighting to protect their own self-interest. We many times are not there to serve others. But increase happens because we choose to serve each other. Change happens because we choose to serve each other. And where love is, there is always service. If you were to go into any business where their service is not good, the chances are that you will not want to have anything to do with that particular business. So it's the self-interest of the business to make sure that they have a good service. The same thing is true of church. We call this a church service. Why? Because it's there to serve the interests of people, to minister to them so that they can be the best, that they can experience increase and flourish and have all that is necessary to fulfill their particular purpose and destiny. Yes, it is true that the reason we have church is to worship God. But true worshiping of God is doing for God the service that is due Him. Let me say that again. True worship of God is me servicing God, doing that which is pleasing in His sight. So ultimately, the purpose of the church, the body of Christ, the preaching of the word, the worship service, the singing and the dancing and all of that, is to help me find out who I am in Him so I can serve Him better, if that makes any sense. The more I know about me, the more I will be of service to God. But for me to be of service to God, I need to know Him because I was created in His image and in His likeness. So the role of the minister is twofold. Finding out who God is like and helping me to minister to that. But then, if I'm created in His image and likeness, other people are created in His image and likeness. So my servicing of God is my servicing of others. Oh, so that's why He made the statement. The greatest commandment is about loving God and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. So true understanding of destiny and purpose is founded in my ability to connect with God, knowing His will, and knowing the will of the people that I am ministering to as that relates to what God wants, not what man wants. Because man that is without God wants things that are terrible for him. But if I'm going to service God, then I need to generate an appetite in people that cause them to want what God has for them. One of the things we talked about this morning is that we know our purpose and our destiny when we come in contact, just like John did with Jesus, while Jesus was yet in the womb and he was yet in the womb, when they came across each other, John leaped. And I was considering that statement this afternoon. And I remember a man of God that had come to our church in Nigeria. His name was Pastor Daniel. I don't know much more about him than that. Nice, lanky, handsome young man, much older than I am. He came and he was a teacher. Africans are used to preachers, powerful, fiery speakers, always at the top of their voice and just energized. And here comes this guy, and he is breaking down the word of God. And as he was doing it, something leaped inside of me. I said, I want to be like that. Because that's what God has put inside of me. I came across somebody that I didn't know I had it, but I came across the person that had the same grace that God had put inside of me, and it leaped inside of me. I never did meet that man. I didn't greet him. I didn't shake his hand. He didn't lay hands on me. But when I met him, something happened to me. And from that day, whenever I met a teacher, I knew it. I could tell a teacher of the word of God within 2 minutes. As soon as he opens his mouth and begins to talk, I know, this guy's got the goods. Listen up. You're going to learn something. What do you come across that triggers something inside of you? Now, sometimes we know what our call and purpose is by the prophetic statement. God speaks through a man or a woman of God and says, thus saith the Lord, or I see you doing such and such a thing. And many times we can sit down on the grace that God has in our lives, the gifting that God has in our lives. We keep it. We don't do much with it. We don't expand it. And I made a statement earlier this day that your destiny can be increased or diminished. You can increase it or diminish it. And the question we must ask ourselves, every one of us, is this: that which God has given to me, am I doing everything that I can with His help to increase it? Am I diminishing it? Your gifting, what God has given to you, is of utmost importance. It is God's roadmap to lead you into the fulfillment of His divine purpose for your life. Now, having said all of that, we must consider something else. Because it is God's will for my life, does that mean there will be no resistance? Oh my. Especially because that's your destiny. Sometimes that's where you have most of your problems. But the promise of God is this, that I will help you. That's the pathway you need to go. And then there are all kinds of things jumping in the way, trying to block you. And many times what we do is we back off and say, maybe it's not the will of God. Let me say something to you, child of God. Never lead your life based on circumstances. Circumstances do not determine the will of God for your life. No. What determines the will of God in your life is the will of God spoken into your spirit. You know that you know this is the way I ought to go. And then there are problems, don't back off. That's the enemy trying to block you from fulfilling your destiny. And you can change it. You can change it. The Word of God tells us about a man in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. You know this story well. We've talked about this man. First Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 3. First Chronicles chapter 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. All are recording the story of families. This person begat this person, and this person begat this person, and this person begat, and this person begat, and these all these names are being listed. And all of a sudden, we come to chapter 4. Remember, from chapter 1, there's a list of names. And we come to chapter 4, and we read in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Why did he call on the God of Israel? He needs help. And that's the promise that God gives to everyone with a destiny. I will help you. So how did this man change his story? When his name is being, every day they called him Sorrow. His name was Sorrow. Sorrow, come here. Sorrow, go buy me some milk. Sorrow, go get me some meat. Sorrow, get the garbage out of here. All, everything, and the Bible is about names. Names, that's what you're called. That is your identity. I don't answer to Mark. And I don't answer to James. And I don't answer to the name Peter. But if you said Michael, I'll respond, because names identify. And here he's been called Jabez, Sorrow. But Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wilt do what? Bless me. Oh, that thou wilt bless me And notice the next statement, indeed. Bless me indeed. God, I know what they're calling me. They're calling me sorrow. But bless me, so bless me that it is absolutely obvious that you have blessed me. And enlarge my coast. He didn't say change my name. He says, bless me indeed. Bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. And that thine hand might be with me. Oh God, help me. And that thou wouldst keep me from evil. That it may not grieve me. I don't want to be grieved. And God granted him that which he requested. What did he request? Bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Let your hand be with me. The hand of God, the finger of God. Write your purpose. I don't care what other people are saying. God, what are you saying about me? How do you call me? You don't have to settle. I don't have to settle for the status quo and what people think. I have a calendar. I wish I had brought the calendar with me. I would have remembered the name of the man. It's a black man in the 1700s in America. He was one of the richest men. At the time that people were enslaved in America, he was one of the richest men, and he walked free. You know how? He determined, I am not staying here. I am not that. And the way he carried himself caused people to respect him. He met leaders, the presidents, met key leaders, ran businesses. And while all of that was happening, there were still people enslaved. It was a man who decided, I am not a slave. In the 1700s, can you imagine? He made a decision, that's not me. And the aura that he emanated caused people to respond to that. What kind of vibes are you and I sending out that causes people to think less of us? Because when the blessing of God is on you, your story is different. And the man said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Don't just bless me. Like, load me up. And the result of that is going to be that my coast is enlarged because your hand is with me and I'm kept from evil. That it does not grieve me. I don't want a life of grief. So he said. Other people can have the life of grief if that's what they want. But me, not for me. And the Lord Jesus Christ keeps on saying, according to your faith, let it be unto you. You know, what you believe to be the truth will become your truth. You've got to make that decision. There comes a time when you and I need to decide that whatever it is that we are experiencing right now is no longer acceptable. this is no longer acceptable. I do not accept that anymore. That is no longer going to be my story. It's got to change today. And I believe that when we make that decision, we begin to change the direction of our lives. Because ultimately, life is not about what is. Life is about what you do with what is. Let me say that again. Life is not just about what is. Huh? What is? No, life is about what you do with what is. You cannot just stay there and say lemons. You can do something else with those lemons, and it becomes lemonade. Is that not true? It's a decision. Whatever it is that's been thrown your way today can become your bridge to a future that is better than what you have now. Because destiny is about destinations. It's about what you are destined to be. But what you are destined to be depends on what road you are traveling on. Oh. Your destination is determined by what road you're traveling on. You don't like the road you are traveling on, change. You and I have one life to live. And we need to plug into what God is saying and hear the word of God in Proverbs 3. When you have the word of God settled inside of you, he says, you can then acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and he will direct your path. Why do you acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways? Because you find out what the word says. You find out what the word of God says. What does the word of God say? What does it say? The life I'm living right now is a total mess. But the word of God says that God is a God who blesses. This thing I'm looking at is not a blessing, it's a messing. It's messing with me. It's not blessing me. And I refuse this messing. I want the blessing of God. God, bless me. Help me. And God responds. God did not respond to Jabez until Jabez cried out. You know what that means? You can be left in your mess until you become proactive. You can. You and I can die messed up when we can be blessed. And we'll find out, oops, I could have changed this. The enemy can plan, can purpose, can desire, can want whatever it is he wants, but you have a say in it. You and I have a say. And the say we have is this. I want the will of God for my life. In the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter. Starting to read from the 7th verse. Actually, I can take it from the 6th verse. It says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Judah came, and here comes Caleb. Caleb is not a real Israelite. He's not an Israelite. He's a Kenizzite. And he comes. They are dividing property, land, for the people of the land, the people that have the inheritance. And here comes Caleb. Remember, Joshua, you remember what Mo said about you and me? Remember? You know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses. God spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. I brought him word according to that which was in mine heart. What was in my heart? That's what I told him. Verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, remember what we said earlier today. You can increase your destiny or diminish it. When God took the Israelites out of Egypt, was his intent to kill them in the wilderness? No. Did they die in the wilderness? Absolutely. Why? Unbelief. Why? It was not even their rebellion, their unbelief, that was formulated in their rebellious act. And when they wanted to go in, God told them, don't go. Too late. Too late. Don't go. But we want to go now. We repent. Don't go. I'm not with you. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Because you've fully followed the Lord my God, where your feet treads, you're going to possess. Verse 10 says, and now, behold, the Lord had kept me alive. Remember Jabez's prayer, keep me. Let your hand be upon me and keep me. He says, the Lord had kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So, he's now 85 years old. Even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day, on my birthday, this day and my birth year, 85 years old, I'm 85 years old. Notice the next statement. This is an 85-year-old speaking now. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. That is, my youth is renewed. That is, it doesn't matter that it took me 85, another 45 years to get to this point. The promise that was given to me 40 years ago shall be manifested now that I'm 85. Because the one thing that the enemy can convince you and I of is you are too old. You are too old to do this. You can't do this. You're not a spring chicken anymore. What are you thinking? Do you see anybody in your age group doing anything like that? Go tell my papa, Maurice Cerullo, about that. Go tell him. You can't be doing that. You're old. Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. I'm not too old. I will accomplish what God called me to do. And God said, prophets don't retire. So, well, I'm 65. I'm retiring. I'm collecting my check. For what? Why? That is a guarantee for you to kill yourself. Because you've lost a sense of purpose. No. You may shift lanes. You may retire from doing one thing and engage yourself in another thing. Why? For the kingdom of God's sake. But you never go sit down in a rocking chair moving and still in one spot like a hamster. Running so fast, but still at the same spot. You're there in the rocking chair. Where are you going? Nowhere. God forbid bad thing. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For what? For war? Both to go out and to come in. I am strong enough for war, whether I'm taking the fight out there or trying to break in somewhere. I have God's ability flowing through me. And so this is what he said in verse 12. Now, therefore, because of the promise that Moses gave, because I am still just as strong as I was before when he gave me that word, for that word is what has sustained me. Therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, these are giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. The circumstance then did not deter me, because I wanted to go in then. I identified who was there. And now I'm able to go and fulfill that vision that I had. If God is with me, and I know he's with me, give me that mountain. Where the Anakims are. Wow. 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 Give me this mountain. And Joshua did what? Blessed him. One of these days, I'm going to focus my attention on this word, blessing. Because it's a powerful word. It's a word that we need to understand. Because this is what you and I need. More than the anointing, you need the blessing. The anointing is part of the blessing, but the blessing is greater than the anointing. Because the blessing is what truly authorizes you. It is God investing inside of you what is necessary that gives you the potential and the ability to fulfill your divine purpose and destiny. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron. He gave him Hebron for inheritance. He gave him what? Hebron. What? He gave it to him. Now, he says, this is your inheritance. Oh, my Lord. He gave him Hebron for an inheritance. But did he have to go get it? He says, this is your inheritance. That's paperwork. Now he has to do the manifestation of it. He didn't give him a Hebron that was already conquered. He gave him a Hebron that was still infested with issues. Go take Hebron. One of these days, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Hebron. But this is a place that Abraham built an altar. This is a place that the father of the nation built one of his key altars and made sacrifice unto God, Hebron. He says, you take it. You go take a land that is associated with the father of this land, our patriarch. He didn't give it to Judah. He didn't give it to the Levites. He didn't give it to the Benjamites. He gave it to somebody who believed that he can go take it. And child of God, I am convinced that ultimately it is the man or woman that is willing to pay the price that ultimately gets everything God has for him and more. My prayer tonight is that something will happen to every one of us that will cause us to say, God, there is more to you than I'm experiencing right now. I want more. I want more. I am not going to settle for status quo. This is the way it is. This is the way it has always been. I want something different because I believe change is possible. Change is possible. I am not going to settle and say, everybody in my family, they've been broke, therefore I'm going to be broke. No, I'm going to be the first one out of this broke state. Everyone in my family have been struggling with drugs and alcohol. No, I'm going to be the first one that breaks out of this because that is not me. That's not me. Until you make that break, everything that confirms that negative life will continually find you. Yeah. That's the reality. Everything. It doesn't matter where I take you. I can take you from here to Timbuktu, and when you get to Timbuktu, if you think that you are a drug addict, an alcoholic, a thief, a whatever it is you think you are, when you get there, you will find everyone that is involved in that. They will be attracted to you, and you'll be attracted to them. It's just the way it is. Because that's what you are going to be oozing out. If you believe and you dwell, and one thing that keeps people in that state is a spirit of unforgiveness and bitterness. If you carry unforgiveness inside of you, somebody raped me. They may have raped you in Ontario. You go to British Columbia. When you get to British Columbia, they will rape you there if you carry bitterness inside of you. It will be the broadcast. You'll be broadcasting it. Broadcast. Find me. If you have been bullied and you accept bullying as part of your life, guess what? It doesn't matter where I take you. You will be bullied. You have to make the decision inside of you. First of all, I am not an object for being bullied. You make that decision inside here. Jabez did. Bless me. Indeed. I don't care what they are calling sorrow, whatever. That's not me. I want you to bless me. Turn sorrow to blessing. This is a simple word, but it's something that you and I need to seriously consider. I need to consider what my broadcast station is broadcasting. What am I broadcasting? When people see me, what am I broadcasting? Am I broadcasting, now that you see me, you will like me, but when you get to know me a little bit more, you're going to drop me? Is that what I'm broadcasting? Guess what's going to happen? It doesn't matter who I meet. That's exactly what's going to happen. People are going to betray me because that's what I'm broadcasting. People are going to betray me. People are going to cheat me. People are going to lie to me. People are not going to be committed to me. People are not going to help me. If that's what I'm broadcasting, that's exactly what I am going to get. I'm going to wrap up today by praying a simple prayer for everyone here and everyone listening, that something will change in me, in you, in us, that stops broadcasting negative stuff and instead will broadcast like Caleb. 40 years ago, I got a promise. I'm 85 years now. Give me this mountain. I'm taking it. Oh God, bless me indeed. A different broadcast. Glory and Peace Church needs to have a different broadcast. Because we can easily decide, well, people will come. Just like any church, people will come, people will go. If that's the broadcast that we're broadcasting, that's exactly what we get. You get exactly what you expect. People will come, people will go. Some people will stay, some people will go. That may be the broadcast. But I don't see that when we get to heaven, that people will come and people will go. People will stay. Well, the Word of God says we can live as heaven now. Amen? People will come, people will stay. People will come and they will enjoy it. People will come and they will receive God. People will come and they will worship God in spirit and in truth. People will come and they will serve. People will come and they will give. People will come and celebrate the goodness of God in this house. People will come and they will hear a powerful word. People will come and they will be witnesses of the goodness of God in the land of the living. People will come and they will celebrate That's a different language. People will come and they will continue. Some guy said, build it and they will come. Or you can say, well, build it, but if nobody comes, we toast. Well, well, that's your broadcast. That's what you're going to get. You will build it and nobody will come and you will be toast. Rise with me and stretch your hand towards me. Heavenly Father, you are in this place. Your word to us is true. Lord, we repent of the folly of doubt. Because we believed circumstances rather than the truth of your word. As Father, this day, Lord God Almighty, as my hands are stretched forth towards your sons and your daughters, and they are stretched forth towards me, and Lord of God, together our hands are lifted up to you, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You have good words in your mouth for us. Your thoughts concerning us are wonderful. We say, Lord, O God, today, dip your hand into us and erase, O God, every language and every word that is contradictory, O God, to the purity of your word, your purpose, and your will for our lives. Erase every lie and flood our person with the truth of your word. We receive the blessing. We receive the blessing, Father. We receive the blessing of our Heavenly Father, the blessing that you spoke, O God, into the life of Adam and Eve. For before you dispatched them and instructed them, before you spoke a word to them, your word says you blessed them, and then you spoke, Lord, O God, this day bless us indeed. May we have, O God, a Jabez experience, because, Lord, O God, our coast is enlarged. Your hand is upon our lives. You've removed evil far away from us. You've caused, O God, your glory to rest upon our lives because your ears are attentive to us. We don't want to be the status quo. We want this blip that isolates our lives and says something unique happened. For Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Lord, may the grace of supernatural honor come upon every son and every daughter. Let something flip in our minds that causes us, O God, to stop thinking negatively and speaking negatively. So, Lord, O God, from this day, every son and every daughter, those hearing my voice now, and those that will hear my voice in the days to come, will tap, O God, into an experience that catapults them, O God, into a destiny that's unstoppable. For like Caleb, we refuse to accept the superiority of giants. These Anakims must come down. This mountain is ours. Lord, O God, it may seem like Caleb didn't qualify, but he qualified himself by the language, by the testimony, by the vision, by that thing that was in his heart. He said, just like Joshua, we can take them. God is with us. Lord, may this grace of knowing that you are with us so impact our lives that our walk, our stance changes forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pronounce this blessing upon everyone here. And I thank you that there's no limit to the blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus, I call it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good all the time. Is there any part or time removed from all the time? So at all times, God will be good in your life. Shout hallelujah. Amen. We bless you. Those of you who've been listening online, do reflect and go through these messages as we've gone through this series about living a life of destiny and purpose. Glean what it is God has embedded in this. There's much treasure in it, and I pray that you will tap into it and that you do not just hear it, but that you and I will continue in the act of obedience to do what God has declared we can have. Amen. Let there be a manifestation. Let's take our Hebron in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.